It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Our study has been taking us through the New Testament, and let me remind you that we're looking at the books of the New Testament and trying to hit some of the high points, some of the things that would bring us to a point in our memories that we can think through the New Testament. And we're not going to hit everything. That's for another time. But we're trying to get an overview, an oversight, a bird's eye view, if you would, of the New Testament. And so today, we're going to look into the book of Galatians. Let me give you just a little of the background on this book. Well, the author, of course, is Paul the Apostle. He had first preached the gospel to the churches of the Galatian region in Antioch and Pisidia and Iconium and Lystra and Derbe. Well, Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Well, then we see that the probable date that Paul wrote this book was during his second ministry journey, after he had visited the churches a second time, around 50 or 55 A.D. Well, the setting is that and in following Paul's departure, some people came to the churches, perverting the gospel of Christ and telling the Christians they needed to be circumcised and teaching them that they could be justified only through keeping the law of Moses and following Jesus Christ. In other words, they were adding to the gospel. Now, let me remind you here that anything that perverts the gospel is wrong. We have some today who would intermingle truth with lies, and people doing this sort of thing, they're wrong. This is what Paul is trying to get across to the people in the church at Galatia. When Galatians chapter 4, verse 21, it says, "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law?" In other words, don't you understand that you are guilty, that you need help, that you need Jesus Christ as your Savior? And for those who were saved, he's saying, don't you realize that by keeping the law, you weren't saved, but it was through the blood of Jesus by faith? Well, I believe the key verses here, and there are several in this book of Galatians. And not only what I've just read, but I call your attention to Galatians chapter 5, verses 2 through 6. "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Well, Paul is saying that he keeps reminding the people here. He's saying, you were not saved by works. You were not saved by keeping the law. You were saved by trusting Jesus as your Savior. Well, the purpose of the book, and there's several things we can look at today. But let me say, first of all, a life of law-keeping was contrary to the gospel of Christ, according to Paul. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 21 through 22, it says, "Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe." Well, in other words, there is one way to be saved, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ by faith. Then we see that Paul's telling these people, remain in your freedom in Christ and stay away from the bondage of the law-keeping, he's saying. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, he says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." But don't let someone tell you that after you get saved, you got to do certain things to remain saved. And that's what Paul is telling these people. You are saved by grace. You're kept by grace through faith, and it's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God according to the Word of God. Then I see that God has always justified people through faith, not by law-keeping. Well, some would say that the Old Testament saints were saved by the Ten Commandments, by keeping the law. Well, this is not so. This is entirely wrong. The Bible teaches us that everyone who's ever been saved down through history, down through mankind, the only way to be saved is by faith. Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles. In other words, Paul is separating now. He's saying there are Jews and there are Gentiles. The nationalities, in other words. And verse 16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. In other words, no works. He says it makes no difference who you are or whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. It makes no difference. We're all saved the same way. It's by faith. We're justified through faith through Jesus Christ. Well, the law had a different purpose than justification. It was to bring us to Christ. Now, let's go back to verse 24 of Galatians chapter 3. It says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Well, in other words, I believe what it's saying here, the law was good in that it was bringing us to Christ. It was showing us that we've all sinned. There's no way that we can keep the law, that we can do anything to go to heaven other than trust in Jesus Christ. Well, then the calling of liberty equals law fulfilled, Paul says. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, it says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, Paul is telling us here that when we get saved, we have liberty. We are not under the yoke of bondage anymore, and this frees us to help us to love the people around us. Well, then we see the fruit of being led by the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, and there are so many verses that we could look at under this heading here, but chapter 5 and verse 13 through chapter 6 and verse 10, we see in Galatians chapter 6 verses 1 and 2, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Well, the law of Christ is love. We are to love that person who is overtaken in a fault. That person that so many people would look down on and say, that rascal, he sinned. He's fallen from God. He's not doing what God wants him to do. Let's just stomp him down a little further. Well, that's not the way a Christian is to be. A Christian is to lift up that brother who has been overtaken by a fault. He's done wrong. We're to pray for him. We're to lift him up. Paul says that when we have that attitude of just stomp him down a little further, Paul says that's the wrong attitude. We are to forgive those who have fallen from fallen from the good graces of God. I didn't say he or she was lost. I said he was fallen from the grace of God in the sense that God has not turned his back on them. They've turned their back on God. No, they're not lost, but it would seem that they were acting as though they were lost. At times they may feel like they're lost, but the Bible says we are saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are saved eternally. We are saved, period. Paul says we should not put that person down, the person who has fallen away, who has gone away from the Lord in a backslidden condition. We are to pray for that brother or sister, We are to help raise them up once again so they can be used of the Lord to win others to Him. We see that there will always be struggles between those who are free and those who are in bondage. The Bible says in chapter 4 of Galatians, verse 31, it says, "So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." In other words, we've been made free through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Free! These are those who are confident in what God has done through Jesus on the cross and His resurrection. And this creates a relationship with God. May I say that those people who believe they can, they're saved today and they can be lost tomorrow, they're on their way to hell tomorrow, but today they're saved. Let me say that those people are placing themselves back under the bondage of the law. And Paul says the law is not what saves. The law is something to bring us to the knowledge that we need to be saved. And we get saved by grace through faith, through the Lord Jesus Christ, through His blood. But once again, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Well, don't let anyone tell you that you can keep the law and be saved. Don't let anyone tell you that you can work your way to heaven. There is no way, Paul says, that you can work your way to heaven. Those who are under bondage see their own abilities. They look to themselves to perform or keeping law perfectly as a means of causing God to reward them. First of all, they can't keep the law. There's no way they're going to keep the Ten Commandments. And we see thus their dependence is on self. Man is self-righteous. Let's get down to it here. Man is self-righteous. Man thinks himself more highly than God. And man wants to think that he or she can do what is necessary in their own lives to take themselves to heaven. They may say, "Well, I'm a good person. I haven't done anything really that bad." Well, if you've committed one sin, which you have, if you'll admit it, one sin, it's enough to send a person to hell. And of course, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says those people who have not trusted Jesus are accursed. If they're depending upon themselves to be saved, they are badly mistaken. They will not go to heaven. Freedom in Christ is accomplished by serving others, by being imitators of Jesus, obedient to His nature and to His Spirit, not by keeping the Ten Commandments. Galatians chapter 5, verses 24 and 25 says this, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." You see, no one is perfect. But we need to be led by the Spirit of God, not looking for an occasion to sin, but desiring to live for the Lord, letting Him mold our lives as saved people so that we can help others come to Him. As we get saved, when we get saved, we need to look to the Lord, not to judge others, not to satisfy our own desires, but to satisfy the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you saved today? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Paul makes it plain in this book of Galatians that we are not saved by any other way other than through Jesus Christ. If you do not know Him today as your Savior, may I invite you to trust Him today. Ask Him to come into your heart, and He'll save you. Pray something like this, "Lord, come into my heart. I'm not going to trust myself to go to heaven. I'm not good enough to go to heaven, but You have made it possible for me to go to heaven through Your shed blood on the cross of Calvary. Please come into my heart and save me." Ask Him to save you. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Romans chapter 10 and verse 13.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org, or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.